From atheism to astrophysics, from evolution to economics, from comparative religion to cults, from philosophy to politics, a voice of reason in our confused world and beacon of truth and hope in this age of uncertainty. Welcome to God and Science Foundation with physician, teacher, and evangelist, Dr. Paul Kattupalli. God and Science Foundation is designed to study the relationship between God and science and to defend Christian faith from a scientific perspective. Dr. Paul's teaching helps you understand the vital issues affecting our world from a biblical worldview. For today's lecture, here is Dr. Paul.
Welcome to Defender's Voice. I'm Dr. Paul. Greetings to everyone in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. Hope everyone is doing well. Every day we are posting new material on our website. Please visit our website, www.drpaul.org. Our main focus is on medical missions. You can support our ministry by making a tax-deductible donation. Let us see today's question. Did Christians believe in flat earth? Is it true that atheists brought light to Christians in astronomy and mathematics? Excellent questions. I have to give you a long answer because there are many misconceptions we have to remove before making conclusions on these matters. If you listen to atheists, they said during dark ages, people believed that earth was flat. Then atheists brought enlightenment and liberated Christians from their belief in flat earth. To answer this question, we have to start with ancient astronomy. Long before Christians came around, the ancient people made great advances in astronomy. Thales of Miletus was able to predict a total eclipse of the sun in 585 BC. He studied mathematics of different civilizations and concluded that mathematics is a universal language and controls all physical phenomena. That was 2000 years before Galileo, who came to similar conclusions. He realized the mathematical nature of the universe and the universality of mathematics. Anaximander was the first to study the physical universe as a unified whole. He was also the first individual known to have made a map of the world using a shadow casting rod at Sparta. He demonstrated the equinoxes and solstices. He made the sun and moon into massive bodies far away from Earth. He described the shape of Earth as a cylindrical disk. His Earth is hanging in space without any support. Think about that. 500 years before Christ, Anaximander was talking about Earth hanging in space. Pythagoras was the first to prove what is now called the Pythagorean theorem, which has been called the most significant theorem in all of mathematics. He saw mathematical harmony in nature and music. Pythagoras profoundly influenced many thinkers from Plato to Isaac Newton to our times. According to Plato, Pythagoras said, at its deepest level, reality is mathematical in nature. He saw mathematical order even in the celestial bodies. He realized that Earth is a sphere. Observing a lunar eclipse, he noticed that the shadow of Earth cast onto the moon is curved. Sun, moon, and planets sailed in circular paths around the spherical Earth. So Pythagoras, who lived 500 years before Christ, knew that Earth was round. Anaxagoras, according to Plato, Anaxagoras discovered the true causes of lunar eclipses and solar eclipses. He considered the Earth, the Moon, and Sun to be spherical bodies and constructed a geometric model based on logic. Aristarchus of Samos. Aristarchus came up with the basic size of the solar system. That was marvelous because he achieved it using geometry and naked eye observations. He claimed that the sun, rather than the earth, is at the center of the universe. Around 250 BC, he calculated the sizes and distances for both the sun and moon. So long before Copernicus, Aristarchus formulated the heliocentric theory. Eratosthenes made the first measurement of the size of Earth. Its circumference of the Earth was 250,000 stadia, which is very close to our modern estimate. Hipparchus of Rhodes, according to Pliny the Elder, Hipparchus created a 1,000-star catalog, which remained foundational till the times of Kepler. His greatest achievement is the discovery of the motion of the stars that is called precession. While I was in school, I was taught that during medieval times, so-called Dark Ages, Christians believed that Earth was a flat disk floating on water. Columbus was warned not to go too far lest he fall off the edge of this flat disk. All that is nonsense. C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery. From 500 BC, all educated people knew that Earth was round. 200 BC, Greeks developed a geometric model. As we have seen earlier, 6th century BC, Thales of Miletus predicted solar eclipses. Anaximander made a map of the whole world. He demonstrated equinoxes and solstices. Pythagoras realized that Earth is a sphere and sun and moon and planets sailed in circular paths around the spherical Earth. Aristarchus of Samos claimed that the sun, rather than the Earth, is at the center of the universe. Eratosthenes made the first measurement of the size of Earth. Hipparchus of Rhodes created a 1,000-star catalog. So from 500 BC, all educated people knew that Earth was round. There is no truth in the statement that Christians believed in the flat Earth. In fact, the Bible clearly says that Earth is round. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Some atheists say that the Bible supports flat Earth, but you should look at those verses in the context. For example, when I say, look at the beautiful sunrise, you might rebuke me, hey, sun does not rise. Sun is stable at the center of the solar system. It is the planet Earth revolving around the sun. But when I say, look at the beautiful sunrise, I am not making a scientific statement. I am only appreciating the beauty of the sunrise. It is a truthful statement when you put it in its context. Another example. If I say, it is getting dark, the sun is running away, it's poetic hyperbole. I'm not making a scientific statement when I said that the sun is running away. Using poetic hyperbole, I am conveying the truth that it is fast getting darker. The Bible has many such statements like that. For example, in Psalm 104:5, the psalmist says, God set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. Psalmist is praising God that he made our home a stable home for humanity. He is not saying that earth is a flat physical object. He is not saying that there are foundations below the planet earth. That is why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy that we should be rightly dividing the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. What is literal? What is poetic? What is figure of speech? What is a metaphor? What is a dream? We should look at the context. Then we should also look at the influence of Aristotle on Christian thought. In his book, Metaphysics, Aristotle placed the earth at the center of the universe with sun, planets, and stars rotating around it in concentric spheres. This geocentric view was inherited by the medieval institutions through great Greek mathematician Claudius Ptolemy and his book Almagest. Ptolemy advocated the geocentric model, which says that the Earth is at the center of the universe. Sun, moon, planets, and stars revolve around the Earth. Catholic Church espoused this Ptolemaic view and its geocentricity, but it is not from the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible do we find that Earth is at the center of our solar system or the universe. In the Middle Ages, thinkers dressed Christian theology using Aristotle Ptolemaic systems as the skeletal framework. Aristotle was everywhere in Europe. Aristotle was in the street clocks, in St. Mark's Square, in St. Mark's Clock, that's in Venice. We see the Earth sitting at the center of the clock. It was built by Gian Paolo and his son between 1496 and 99. Such astronomical clocks were omnipresent throughout Europe. People who looked at those clocks got daily doses of geocentricism. Aristotle was in their worship. The doctrine of transubstantiation was based on Aristotle's idea of substance and accidents. Substance is about the essence of something, while accidents, the external appearance. The bread and wine, their accidents remain the same externally, but their substance changes to Lord's flesh and blood internally. So Catholic Church needed Aristotle even to make sense of the central act of their worship, their view of physical reality and spiritual transformation was largely subsidized by Aristotle. It was very hard for skeptics to make their doubts public about the validity of the geocentric system. But remember, it was also Christian astronomers who brought us out of the geocentric model. Christian astronomers spent their lifetimes to advance human knowledge in astronomy. Let us start with Regiomontanus. Regiomontanus, Johannes Regiomontanus, was one of the greatest mathematicians and astronomers of the 15th century. To be fair, Catholic Church also invested in scientific research. You can see that fact in the life of Regiomontanus. Cardinal Bessarion inspired Regiomontanus to work on astronomy. Regiomontanus found inconsistencies in Ptolemy's Almagest between predictions of planetary positions and predictions of planetary size. In a short life, he mastered all areas of mathematics of his time and used it to study the orbits of Mercury and Venus. He proposed a mathematical model within epicycles. This work later inspired Copernicus towards a heliocentric view of our solar system. Copernicus. Atheists love to portray Copernicus as against God. But you see, Copernicus was a Catholic monk. He spent most of his life as a monk in the Cathedral of Fromberg. Sitting in his cathedral, he made the most shocking discovery in the history of science. The Earth is not the center of the universe. We can still visit this cathedral in the town of Fromberg in northern Poland. He wrote his famous De Revolutionibus, or On the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres in Fromberg. This epochal book was published in 1543, the same year his life came to an end. He was buried in the cathedral grounds. Copernicus believed that God created the universe. He was not convinced that God's harmony is reflected in Ptolemy's work. The retrograde motions looked out of place to his eyes. The Ptolemaic scholastic system did not possess the mathematical beauty he anticipated. He defended Aristarchus's idea that the Earth travels around the sun. Sadly, atheists tried to warn Copernicus. During the heyday of Soviet Union, churches were turned into museums of atheism with large exhibits of Copernicus shown as a martyr for science in the hands of cardinals and popes. The truth is more complicated than such simple generalizations. historical records show that many church officials responded generously to Copernican theory. In 1515, Pope Leo X invited Copernicus to oversee the reformation of the Julian calendar. Assembled in the Vatican Gardens, Johann Widmannstetter, secretary of the Pope, explained the Copernican system to Pope Clement VII and two cardinals in the summer of 1533. The Pope welcomed Copernican views wholeheartedly. In fact, he rewarded Widmannstetter with the gift of a rare Greek manuscript. Cardinal Nicholas Schoenberg wrote a letter to Copernicus, complimenting the astronomer for his new cosmology and respectfully asking him to present his theory, to make copies and present his theory to contemporary scholars. Copernicus ignored the cardinal's advice, probably to allot himself time to refine his theory. Finally, in 1543, Copernicus published his book with a dedication to Pope Paul III. Some church officials were requesting Copernicus to publish his heliocentric theory. Atheists also won Galileo. But the truth is, Galileo was a sincere Christian. The Catholic Church of his day was deep into Aristotelian scholasticism and they did not appreciate heliocentrism. Because Galileo embraced Copernican cosmology, he was declared a heretic and condemned to life imprisonment. Justifiably, Galileo became a martyr of science for taking a stand against religious dogmatism. But it should be noted that he was not thrown in a dungeon or tortured for his views. He spent 6 months at the place of his friend, Archbishop of Siena, Ascanio Piccolomini, and later moved into a villa in Florence. Last time I visited Italy, I went to see his home in Florence. I wish I could live in such a villa. So no one was torturing Galileo for his beliefs. As a sincere Christian, his fight was never against the Bible. One of his daughters became a nun and took care of Galileo until her death. Tycho Brahe was also a sincere Christian. He was a Danish nobleman. Beginning in 1576, with the assistance of the King of Denmark, Brahe built his observatory, Castle Uraniborg, on the island of Wien. This would become the first great scientific research laboratory. Here, Brahe would make the most precise naked eye astronomical observations. His most famous pupil was Johannes Kepler. Kepler was a German mathematician, physicist, and astronomer. He was a contemporary of Galileo. He was a genius in so many fields. One author described the achievements of Kepler this way. Kepler was the first to investigate the formation of pictures with the pinhole camera, the first to explain the process of vision by refraction within the eye, the first to formulate eyeglass designs for nearsightedness and farsightedness, the first to explain the use of both eyes for depth perception, first to describe real, virtual, upright and inverted images and magnification, first to explain the principles of how a telescope works, how to discover and describe the properties of total internal reflection. Kepler was the first real astrophysicist. Kepler gave us the three laws of planetary motion. He believed that these three laws of planetary motion disclosed God's mathematical order in the universe. In fact, Kepler looked at his work as a project to glorify God and his wisdom revealed in nature. Isaac Newton also contributed greatly to our knowledge in astronomy. He was also a sincere Christian. His lifelong studies of the Bible, you can find them. He looked at the lawfulness of the universe as a reflection of God's wisdom. In 1687, Newton wrote, "This most beautiful system of the sun planets and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. This being governs all things, not as the soul of the world, but as Lord over all. And on account of his dominion, he is to be called Lord God Pantocrator or Universal Ruler. Newton believed that our beautiful universe reflects the wisdom of God. Recently, I read a book about Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson was an African-American mathematician nicknamed the human computer for calculating the flight paths of many spacecraft used by NASA. In 1961, she calculated the path for Alan Shepard, the first U.S. astronaut in space for Freedom 7. In 1962, she calculated the path for John Glenn, the first U.S. astronaut to orbit Earth. In 1969, she calculated the path for the first three men to the moon for Apollo 11 mission. "Houston, we have a problem." Those words scared me when I watched a movie on Apollo 13. What a frightening sight that must have been to astronauts when they saw liquid oxygen leaking from an exploded tank. Then they had to abort that mission to the moon and return to planet Earth. Katherine Johnson was there preparing a trajectory to save those astronauts. She calculated the trajectory they could use to approach the moon and then go around it, harness its gravity, and move towards the earth. Carver Memorial Presbyterian Church in Newport News, Virginia, one Sunday morning, a thin, humble African-American woman is singing in the choir and praising God. After a few days, she received a call from the White House. President Barack Obama would like to meet her and present her the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian award of the United States. She said many times that she is doing all her astronomy for the glory of God and for the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. So I hopefully answered your questions. Christians did not believe in flat earth. The Bible does not teach flat earth. Read Isaiah 40:22. Atheists did not bring Christians out of ignorance. Okay, all great figures in astronomy were sincere Christians, from Reggio Montanus, Nicholas Copernicus, Galileo, Tycho Brahe, Johannes Kepler, Isaac Newton, all the way to Katherine Johnson. They were all sincere Christians, and they repeatedly said that they are doing astronomy for the glory of God and for the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that heavens declare the glory of God. They were all created by Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. So that is my answer to your questions. Please subscribe to my channel, post your comments, and like this video. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please visit us on www.drpaul.org. That is www.drpaul.org to learn more about Dr. Paul Kottopalli's medical ministry and teaching. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please consider a prayerful donation to our ministry to meet our ongoing expenses. You can visit us online or call us at 814-826-2081 to become a partner with us. You can also write to us. Our address is Defender's Voice, 2214 North Atherton Street, State College, Pennsylvania, 16803. We look forward to hearing from you. May God richly bless you.